Hello and welcome. Things are going to be a little different at New Day today. If you're listening to this on the audio recording, I should let you know that's not static you hear in the background. I am in a suit in front of a waterfall, which seems like a strange combination. All will be revealed. It's all going to become clear. For the next couple of minutes, as people are jumping on, logging in, let's talk through some of what we've been through the last couple of weeks, and let's look forward to what's coming up even this morning. If you haven't already picked some bread from your house or something that you're going to use for communion, go ahead, run and do that. Grab a cup of something, and we're going to celebrate communion together, a remembrance of Christ. It's something that in the regular rhythm of our church, we do at least every first Sunday of the month. It's not that there's anything super special about the first Sunday of the month. It just keeps us on a pattern so that we don't forget, because Jesus commanded his disciples to do that, to take some bread, to take a cup, to eat and drink in remembrance of him. He didn't command that we hire a pastor, that we put together a worship band, that we do three songs and a message, and then pass the offering basket. Those are things that we've come up with on our own. He did command us as disciples of Jesus to observe and celebrate communion together. So we're going to do that today, it being the first Sunday of the month. If you're just tuning in and you notice that I'm wearing a suit and in front of a waterfall, I'll explain that. You are in the right place. It's just that things are going to be a little different today. So how are you guys doing on memorizing the fruit of the Spirit? Remember, there are nine aspects to the fruit of the Spirit. If you're out there in a household or even alone, what do you remember? What is the first of the aspects of the fruit of the Spirit? Love, right? Love. And then joy. Love, joy, peace, patience. Last week we looked at kindness and goodness. This week we're looking at faithfulness. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness. These are things that God promises are going to grow in us as we follow the guidance and the lead of the Holy Spirit. Anyone running any walls today, or not today, but this past week, where those things were hard to find in your life? I know I did. I kind of reached a point of exhaustion with everything that's going on and all the changes that we've had to make and all the things that were normal that aren't normal anymore and all the adjustments. I finally came to a point where I was just exhausted. Full disclosure, right now, I am not seeing your comments as I'm recording this, because I recorded it beforehand so that I can see your comments and be sitting with my family and watching this video. So things are a little different. I can see what you're commenting, but I can't see it as I'm giving the message right now. We're doing things a little different today. Let's jump into things. Let's begin in prayer together. God, I know that there are people who are tuning in today, and maybe it's their first connection to New Day, or maybe they've been regulars for a long time, and we're all coming from different places, and we're all having different experiences during this time, Lord, and many of us have hit a wall. Maybe it's not the first. Maybe we've gone through many of these kind of points of exhaustion and frustration. I pray, God, for a renewal today. I pray that your Holy Spirit would be filling the people who are willing to yield themselves to the Spirit's guidance this morning. Teach us about faithfulness. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Yes, we are going to broaden our understanding of faithfulness. And let me explain why I'm in a suit in front of a waterfall. My friends Kelly and Carrie had on their schedule a wedding for the month of May in Maui in front of a waterfall, and they asked me to officiate. So I and my wife and a couple of our kids had tickets to Maui, and all of that has changed. And as I was preparing the message today and thinking about faithfulness, I was thinking, boy, faithfulness is something that we certainly talk about in the context of weddings and of marriages. And I thought, well, we have the technology. Let's do a message in front of a waterfall, and let's take off the hoodie. Win a whiskey. I've been wearing hoodies. I wear hoodies every day. Hoodies and jeans. Now I know some of you are going, wow, you're really dressing up if you're going all the way to putting jeans on, because some of us have been in jammies all week. I'm tired. I'm exhausted from all the stuff. So I thought, I do want to do something different. I want to put a suit on. Some of you never seen me in a suit. If you've never been to a wedding that I've done or a funeral, you've probably never seen me in a suit. So we're switching things up today. I'm thinking about Kelly and Carrie and your wedding, which is now rescheduled, and we just don't know what's going to happen. This is kind of a tribute, though, to that wedding, and we're going to remember our relationship with God, because faithfulness, as we learn about it, as we really dig into it, is something more than simply belief. A lot of times that's what we think of, and it makes sense, because Jesus himself talks about having faith like a mustard seed, and even a little bit of faith. If you have faith and do not doubt. So he compares faith with doubt like they're opposites. And we know that the opposite of doubt in our minds is belief. So we think, well, faith and belief are pretty much the same thing. And there are similarities. I want to go further and dig deeper, though, and understand faithfulness as something more than simply an intellectual acknowledgement that something is true. I want us to think about faithfulness like Marines think about faithfulness. Maybe you've been behind a vehicle and you've seen the bumper sticker that says, U.S. Marine, Semper Fi. What in the world is Semper Fi? It's short for Semper Fidelis. Fidelis, if you think about the word, like fidelity, if somebody is unfaithful, we say that there's infidelity there, because the word fidelis means in Latin faithful. Semper Fidelis, Semper Fi, is always faithful. That's the U.S. Marine Corps motto, always faithful. Now, that can't simply mean they always believe something. Faithfulness, as we start to understand it in Scripture, and even the way it's been used for centuries, is a constant commitment to those things that are our deepest beliefs, our convictions. It's a constant commitment to our convictions. Talk to a U.S. Marine and ask them what it's like to be an ex-Marine, and they'll say, there is no such thing. You're always a Marine. That's Semper Fidelis, means a constant commitment to the Marine Corps and to the United States of America. Now, we can think of the United States of America as, well, geographically, we know its boundaries. We can think of it as the people who are in the United States of America, but it's also an idea. There are beliefs that we hold, that the Marines say they're always going to be faithful. They're going to be constantly committed to defending not only the borders, not only the people, but the ideas the beliefs, the convictions, a constant commitment to the convictions. That's faithfulness. And we expect faithfulness in that sense from our friends, right? We want to have a faithful friend, someone who believes in us, who has a commitment to us, who even when we get into a disagreement, we get into some kind of an argument, that we know that they will believe the best in us and we'll be able to work it out because we're faithful to each other. We certainly expect that in marriage relationships. It's part of the vows to have and to hold, to love and to cherish in sickness and in health, for better or for worse, till death do us part. That's faithfulness. That's a constant commitment. The Apostle Paul says, when you let the Holy Spirit be your guide, he will grow these things in you, the fruit of the Spirit. And the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. He will actually grow faithfulness in us. If we look in Scripture, we see over and over again God treating his people as if they're in a marriage relationship. The Apostle Paul even says in Ephesians chapter 5 that there's this great mystery, that the relationship between Christ and the church, between God and his people, is like that of a husband, how a husband loves his wife. God calls us to be in a faithful, loving relationship with him. If we go all the way back to the Old Testament and we look at God rescuing people from slavery in Egypt, he leads them out of Egypt and then establishes this relationship with them, where he says, "You will be my people. I will be your God. I'm preparing a place for you. I'm going to guide you there. I'm going to lead you there." It's almost like he's saying, "You're my bride, and I'm going to carry you over the threshold into a new home where we're going to have peace together. We're going to be in this faithful relationship." And he establishes the terms of that covenant, that relationship. And the clearest that we see that is in the 10, what we know as the Ten Commandments. And if you think about the Ten Commandments, if you go to Exodus chapter 20 and you read them, you see the first command is that you shall have no other gods before me. I am in an exclusive relationship with you. Don't worship anything else. The second command, he goes on to say, don't make any idols. Don't bow before anything else. Don't commit yourself to anything or anyone else. Don't make an image that would pretend to be me. No, I want your affection. He even says, I'm a jealous God. Now, I've read a number of interviews with Oprah Winfrey. It's not that I'm like tracking down interviews with Oprah Winfrey all the time. I'm not like following her life. I heard her say something though, and I wanted to be sure that I was getting it right. She tells a story of when she was kind of still working on making it. She hadn't become Oprah Winfrey yet. She was just Oprah. She was sitting in church and she heard the preacher preaching about God being a jealous God. And it's right there in the second command. God says, don't make any images. Don't worship any idols. I am telling you, I am a jealous God. She heard the preacher preach this and she thought to herself, why would God be jealous of me? That's not right. And she walked out of that church service and walked away from the church. And I don't really want to pick on Oprah too much. I am telling you, though, she had a foundational, fundamental misunderstanding of Scripture and what that means. And I'm sorry for her, and I want to make sure that we don't make that same mistake, that you understand that God is not jealous of you. God is not jealous of Oprah Winfrey. What's being expressed there is that God wants to be in a faithful, committed relationship with Oprah Winfrey. It'll be weird if you like quote me on that, because it's not just Oprah Winfrey that he wants to be in a relationship with. He wants to be in a relationship, a committed relationship, a faithful relationship with you. And what he's saying is, when you, instead of coming to him, to God, when you're afraid, coming to him for comfort, when you experience something amazing, and instead of coming to him to celebrate and to thank him, when you are going through a time of trouble and you need help, and instead of coming to him for help, you go somewhere else. You share your celebrations with someone else. You share your fears. You share your worries. You, in times of need, go to something else. Then he is jealous of that something else, because he wants to be in a committed, exclusive relationship with you. What are those things for you? We're certainly getting in touch with some of them during this global pandemic. When you have a time of quiet, where do you go to fill that anxiety that kind of pops up in you? When you, like I did this week, where I hit a wall, I was just so exhausted and frustrated. It seemed like I couldn't do anything right. I would work on home projects. I'd work on car repairs. I'd work on sermon preparation. I'd work on church things. And it just seemed like nothing was going well. Like, where do you go? What do you do? Let me fill in some blanks. Maybe try to remind you. Is it a game on your phone? Oh, sometimes it is for me. Is it social media? Is that where you kind of fill those blanks in your time, where you go for comfort? It's kind of your comfort blanket. Maybe it's a substance. You know, maybe it's alcohol. Maybe it's something that is, you know, even harder than alcohol. Maybe it's something that's softer, like food or shopping. For some of us, we're having a hard time because the things that we used to do in order to feel more comfortable now are less accessible, and we don't know where to go. God is telling you now, he wants to be in a faithful relationship with you, a committed relationship with you, where you go to him, where you open up his word and see his promises, where you're reminded of his love for you, of all the things that he has poured out to you. And let me remind you just of what we've looked at in the last few weeks, what he brings to the relationship. Think about this, a love that casts out all fear. Love. Peace. A peace that goes beyond anything that we could understand, when instead of worrying, we bring our prayers and our praises to him. He gives us that, a joy, joy with the Lord. That is our stronghold. When you're looking for a stronghold, renew your relationship, your covenant with him, and find joy, love, joy, peace. Patience. He puts in us an endurance that helps us get through those walls and come out on the other side stronger, more purified, more ready for the next challenge. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, and goodness. I realized this after I gave the message last week, as I was describing how kindness and goodness, these two things that work together well, they're like Mary Poppins said, a spoonful of sugar helps the medicine go down. A spoonful of sugar is kindness, and the medicine is goodness. Kindness and goodness, he puts those in us. And when we have those, when they're working together in us, we can be influencers in the world around us rather than simply reacting to the world around us. And aren't there things going on right now where we just feel like all we can do is react? But with kindness, with goodness, we can be influencers in those things. These are things that he promises he'll bring into our lives. This is part of his covenant, his agreement with us. I will do this for you as you follow me. And faithfulness is one of those things. He says, even when you fail, because you will. That's what we saw with the Ten Commandments, that people constantly failed. Even when you fail, I will put renewed faithfulness in you. He brings everything to the table. To the Israelites who ended up falling away from their covenant and they ended up in a divided kingdom, he says, I'm going to make a new covenant for you. In Jeremiah chapter 31, starting in verse 31, he says, the day is coming when I will make a new covenant with the people of Israel and Judah. This covenant will not be like the one I made with their ancestors when I took them by the hand and brought them out of the land of Egypt. They broke that covenant. Though I loved them as a husband loves his wife. He says, I have been faithful to them, and yet they broke their covenant, and still I'm going to pursue them. I'm going to make a new covenant. I'm going to make a covenant that I write on their hearts, that I put within them. It's going to be more than these outside laws about managing their behavior and hoping that their hearts will be in the right place. It's about me getting into them, about transforming their hearts, about replacing their stone hearts with a heart of flesh, is what one of the prophets says. And we see Jesus comes and he fulfills those promises. And he asks us to remember the new covenant. He asks us to remember that the call is for us to be in a committed and constant faithful relationship with the Lord. So the way Paul describes to us what Jesus did, and at this point, if you need to run and get some bread or get a cup, we're going to do what disciples have done for thousands of years, what Jesus commanded us to do. We're going to share communion together. It's what Jesus told us to do. In the context of when he's sitting with his disciples, they're celebrating the Passover. They're remembering the time when God said, put the blood of a lamb on the outside of your door, and the angel of death will pass over you. I'm going to save you from death because you're putting this on the outside. And they remember that by having this meal and by having the wine and by having lamb. And in the context of that, Jesus says, I give thanks for this bread and I break it. And I'm telling you, this is my body that's broken for you. Eat this and remember me. He's saying, this cup is the new covenant in my blood, not the blood of a lamb, not the kind of covenant that's going to have to be renewed over and over again by sacrifices of animals because we're constantly breaking them. No, the perfect Lamb of God. It's in my blood. I am God in the flesh, and I am letting my flesh be broken and my blood poured out for you, for this new covenant, this new agreement between God and humanity, not where you put the blood on the outside, but where you're actually remembering that I am in you. We are in communion together. God is not far off. He is near. So as you've got this bread and you have a cup, I'm going to read this passage of scripture, and I want us to think about faithfulness in terms of a covenant relationship. I want us to think about God and our commitment to Him and what we have done to give our affection to others and to repent from that, to turn away from that, and to renew our covenant with God, to say to Him, "You are my God and I am yours." To have and to hold, to love and to cherish, for better or for worse, in sickness and in health, and death will not even part us. Let's pray and then move into this time of communion. God, you promise that you will grow faithfulness in us as we yield to you, as we let the Holy Spirit guide. I pray that that indeed would happen in households today, that like a renewal of vows, that this time of communion would be a recommitment of our lives to you. We know that what you have for us is better than any counterfeit that we have attached our hearts to. I pray, God, that you would detach our hearts from those things, that you would put in us a constant commitment to the conviction that you alone are our God. First Corinthians 11:23, Paul says, "For I pass on to you what I received from the Lord himself." On the night when he was betrayed, the Lord Jesus took some bread and gave thanks to God for it. Then he broke it in pieces and said, "This is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." Take whatever you have right now that's representing the body of Christ and eat that. And in the same way, he took the cup of wine after supper, saying, "This cup is the new covenant between God and his people, an agreement confirmed with my blood. Do this to remember me as often as you drink it. For every time you eat this bread and drink this cup, you are announcing the Lord's death until he comes again." Drink and remember the blood of Christ. Think about what you are facing during this global pandemic, during the confusion and the arguments and the uncertainties and the health scares and the economic scares. We know we're so familiar with all of those things. Let's remember and let's think about a love that goes beyond anything we deserve, a love that casts out all fear. Let's think about joy during this time. Joy with the Lord. That's our stronghold. Let's think about peace. In the midst of chaos, we're promised a peace that goes beyond anything that could be understood. As we take what we're worried about and instead of worrying, turn it into prayers and thanksgiving to Him. Love, joy, peace, patience, and endurance through this as you're hitting those walls. A patient endurance through times of trouble that makes you stronger on the other side. And kindness. Kindness that puts you in the position of other people to care about and have consideration for them, and goodness that holds up the truth, and kindness and goodness that work together that help us be influencers rather than being victims of what the world wants to do to us or lead us into. and faithfulness, a constant commitment to our convictions, knowing that God is our God and we are his people. In a couple of weeks, I was supposed to do a wedding in Maui in front of a waterfall. Well, that's been put off for a little while. Just a few months is the plan. Whatever happens, come what may, the most important relationship I can help you have is even more than a marriage to another person. It is a relationship with the Lord. And I hope that this time together has been a time of renewing that relationship so that you can experience the fruit of the Spirit in your life this week. Go in peace and faithfulness in that renewed relationship with him this week.